Hello and welcome to PHP Alive and Kicking, brought to you by PHP Architect and our partners at PHP School. More about them later. This is a podcast that explores the latest developments in PHP and what it's like to earn a living in the PHP today. I'm one of your hosts, Mike Page. I'm a developer at PHP Architect. And my co-host is a longtime contributor to our magazine and now a team member, Chris Miller.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm good. So I'm still suffering from a cold, so I'm struggling a little bit, but we'll get through this. Today's episode is pre-recorded, but you can always head over to our Discord and join in any of our conversations that go on there. People are hanging out there all week. If you're watching this going live out on YouTube, then you can ask questions. Myself and Chris and most likely, be in Discord to answer any questions that you have. While you're over at YouTube, please subscribe to the channel. You can also see the rest of the content from the rest of the team with other podcasts and videos there. We have a magazine, as I just mentioned, and we have a discount for our lovely listeners and watchers. Alive 3 will give you the first 3 months free of a digital subscription. I think you have to sign up to a yearly subscription. I'm getting all my work. Can't get my words out now. We also have a conference, PHP Tech, which we have next year to 2026. Oh, this is going really well today. And that is over in Chicago. It would be great to see you, see as many people over there as possible. It would be great to see you there. We also have our swag store, where you can pick up some T-shirts, caps, hats, hoodies. You name it, it's in our swag store. So do head over there and take a look at what you can get hold of. Okay, that's all the housekeeping done now, I believe. So Chris, without ado, would you like to introduce our guest for today?
Yeah, so with us today, we have Dan Nunes, one of the original founders and now long-standing developer at Jump24. Hey, Dan, how you doing?
Hi, Chris. Hi, Mike. How you doing? I'm good. Thanks for having me on the podcast today.
No, you're welcome. It's been interesting to see that you've actually been following along, because we've seen your shares on the PHP Top 10, which we love that. It is brilliant to see.
Well, thanks, yeah.
One day we'll get the gold.
Who knows?
Surely it's got to be this episode.
Yeah.
If it's not this one, I want to know why. So, Dan, you will know what our first question is. How did you get into PHP?
Yep. So that's a good question. I mean, I've been programming since I was in secondary school. I can remember doing some Visual Basic stuff. Like, I remember building a cinema booking system in Visual Basic. It was a task we had to do. But really, it was university. That's when I kind of started to look at more of the web-based stuff. So I remember kind of looking at HTML, which was tables back then, no CSS, so lots of style tags, things like that, and a very old version of PHP. And really, it just kind of led from there, from university, really.
Yeah, so you're the more stereotypical of involved in programming from a younger age and got into it from there. So
yeah.
One of the things that I've picked up on in the way that you talk about to PHP, particularly just lately, is you talk of Laravel in your language, which I love that phrase. For the people watching, listening, do you want to explain what that means for Jump24?
Yeah. So when I started the company, I mean, I worked at several other agencies using PHP, other frameworks. And one thing that I noticed was that when we were talking to clients, or when we were, you know, starting writing code and things like that, there was this real disjoint between what was being talked through to the client and then kind of brought back to us. So almost like the salespeople didn't really have an understanding of things, you know, like they would just sell. And then we would end up, as a developers, we would end up being the ones who would be kind of working those late nights trying to get things done. And you know, there was lots of times where they would sell something in and they would get it, like, describe it wrong, or they would kind of, lead the client down the wrong path. And then when it came to kind of, we'd finished and showed to the client, it was completely wrong. So one thing that we do really well at Jump is that we're able to talk in the client's language. So, you know, we get to know the client as we're kind of onboarding those initial calls, things like that. We get to understand them. And then we're able to kind of translate those things that, you know, those technical things that could be really difficult to understand, things that we understand as developers. But when you try and, you know, talk to someone who has no technical understanding, no development knowledge or things like that, they can get really, you know, lost and bogged down. So we, you know, we've kind of managed to find a nice way to be able to translate these technical terms, these technical things into a client speaking language. And it really works. Like, you know, we have far less problems where, you know, we finished a project or we finished a thing and it's completely not to spec or not what the client expected, because, you know, we've got a good way of briefing them in, explaining to them what it is. But also it's the way that we talk about Laravel, the way that we use it. You know, it's mentioned over and over how, you know, it's like this artisanal thing, you know, it's artisans, things like that. So we have this care and this kind of really deep understanding of the framework that means we're able to do things in nice ways, like that are really easy to understand. Like, you know, we don't over complicate things. You know, like you can go and look at some code that someone's written and you'll be like, why have you done that? Like to this level of degree where you end up having to edit like 15 files to make a simple change or something like that. You know, we know where the balance is. Yeah. And that's really kind of grown, you know, that's kind of one of the kind of core bases of the team.
Yeah. And as many will know listening to this, I actually worked with you a couple of times at different points. And one of the things that I really appreciated when I was there was the fact that code that we'd written, it was just so easy to understand where everything was, work through it. It made debugging faster for starters. And there wasn't many occasions where I was debugging something at 2 a.m.
Yeah, it's certainly something I've, when I started the business, I'd done stuff like that at previous jobs where, you know, had to work weekends to get things done. And I really didn't want that while I was running Jump. So, you know, I off the top of my head, like we have some clients that we have like a, you know, an SLA where we have to, you know, if something goes wrong in the evening, yeah, we have to do something for them. But obviously, you know, the team member who works on that is obviously, you know, paid for that. But I try to make sure that we don't, you know, you clock off at 4 or 5, whatever, your finish time is, and you don't have to worry about anything else.
Yeah. And of course, offering support to people is a different kettle of fish to having to go and debug something complicated just because you're falling behind. And I think another aspect with Jump that I really like is the fact that you're actually a long-established Laravel partner. So what does that mean for Jump? How does that help the business?
So the partner program, when I first saw it, I really wanted to get on board. Like, I thought it was a really nice way for Laravel to have a kind of accredited set of development teams. You know, we've all seen clients who've gone and basically picked a development team based on price or something like that, and things have gone wrong. You know, like everything's, you know, fallen apart, the deadlines have been missed, the code isn't great. So when Laravel released its partner program, it kind of felt like it was almost like that first level of like, these are good, you know, these are recommended teams that you should work with. So we kind of got on board as soon as we could. And it's been really good for kind of promotion of the team. Obviously, you know, being a partner, we get kind of the advertising on the website and things like that. But also, you know, when we go to events, we can sponsor those events. It gives us a bit more of that promotion that we want. It also gives us a really good communication channel with the Laravel core team. So, you know, we have like a Slack channel that we can talk to people at. And also, you know, we have contacts like with, you know, people like James, Joe, things like that in the UK. We chat to them a lot. So it's been really good to help us kind of get to know the Laravel core team. Obviously, over the last year or two, that's grown massively. So I guess, so there's so many members that we don't know. You know, I've last LaraCon EU that I went to, I kind of met so many new developers they've got. And of course, that's grown even more since then. So yeah, it's really helped us like get, you know, win more work, because obviously, you know, they can go and see us on the partners program. It kind of gives them that kind of, okay, these guys know what they're doing. They wouldn't be there, you know, if we were not a good team. It also, you know, helps us kind of have something to talk about again. And yeah, like I mentioned, you know, the kind of the conversational pieces we can have with the Laravel team is really good as well.
Yeah. And I've seen that you've had a few team members talk at to PHP Stoke, which is run by James. And I've forgotten the other guy's name, but there's a pair of them that run that. And that's one of those meetups where you almost get a bonus of the fact that it's run by somebody from Laravel, but it's nothing to do with the fact that he's a Laravel core team member. And I love that.
Yeah, 100%. It's a great meetup as well. You know, James does such a good job of getting really good speakers. He's in a really nice place. And, you know, they do some really nice things like the food. You know, obviously, like they order pizzas and stuff like that. Anything that's left over at the end of the night, they give it to the homeless. So there's like a charity down the road. So anything that, you know, doesn't just go in the bin. You know, he's thought about like, well, let's do something with this. So they give that to the charity and then they obviously give it to the homeless that evening. And like you said, as he's a Laravel core member, he's got, you know, he knows a lot of really good speakers, so he's able to get those people in.
Yeah. So you talked about sponsoring events and meetups, and that's something that I'm regularly seeing, you know, sponsored by Jump 24 and seeing you're going off to the next meetup to have a stall there or speak there. And that's something that not a lot of companies do, because obviously it eats time. So what's the playoff between time spent doing that and the benefit of doing that?
So I mean, obviously there's multiple ways to look at this. Like the business angle is, it's really good for meeting people. Like, you know, the first Laracon EU we went to was in Portugal. It was, I think, 3 or 4 years ago, I think it was. And it was my first real introduction to a lot of these people, meeting them face to face. And we still get work, you know, people still come to us now. There was something a couple of weeks ago where we got, you know, someone got in touch to say, hey, I saw you at the Laracon EU and I'd love to talk to you about this project. Like, can you help out? So like the business side of things is really beneficial for us. You know, obviously they're long-term, like you can't think, oh, I'm going to go to this event tomorrow and I'm going to get some work from it. You've got to kind of go into it knowing that, you know, it could be a year before you get anything from that. But obviously, the more you go to more events, the more you're seen, the better it is. But from like a personal point of view, for me, like one of the things that really, like when I moved to Birmingham, before I started Jump, I worked for another company called Higgs Design. And one really, like I got that job because of meetups, because I was going to like Multipack, which was a big meetup back in the day here. It was like, had a lot of, you know, like, people who went to that event now, like you look at them, they're actually well-known people in the industry, but it was a really good meeting place. And I really enjoyed going to that. It was kind of open, like it was lots of different stuff, like lots of different talks. It wasn't like primarily on one language. Like I remember Simon Hamp did a talk on big data way, way back, you know, like, and it kind of put that foundation in me that like meetups are really important. Like before that meetup, I hadn't been to anything, because wherever I'd been before that, they didn't run them. You know, there was nothing like that. So it was really important for me to like, well, if there's things that we can help promote or sponsor, then to keep them running, then let's do that. So obviously, you know, Stoke PHP, we sponsored that a few times. There's Walks Dev, which we are sponsoring as well, you know, getting that going, you know, kind of helping with that. From PHP, you know, we run that. It's been on a bit of a hiatus at the moment, but obviously, you know, next year we're going to be starting that back up. And then, of course, we've got Laravel London, which is another one we're working with Pete from Steadfast and Susanna from Larabels. So that's starting back now next month. And then hopefully we're going to continue that then every other month. We're going to be starting doing talks down in London. So yeah, I feel like the meetups like is a really important thing to help grow. Like, you know, you might have junior developers who don't know many people in the industry, and it's a really good place for them to come meet people, learn. That's one thing Multipack did really well back in the day. Like they did show and tells, which were really nice, like introductions into things, which, and you know, people could go, you can go along, you didn't feel afraid or nervous about going to the meetup. Like, it, you know, it was such a nice atmosphere. Everyone was there. It was really nice people. And I found like the Laravel community feels the same. You know, like you go to an event, you go to like a Laravel based meetup, everyone's really nice. Like, you know, there's no kind of like nastiness or, you know, that I've seen. Everyone's kind of looks out for each other, and really they're like looking there to learn. You know what I mean? Like people to go to these things to try and, you know, it's kind of expand their knowledge. So for me, meetups like super important. So the more like I can help, or we can help as a company. Like if we can do something, even it's, you know, sponsor an event, or, you know, maybe we can, like I said, I've got a couple of speakers who might want to go. Great. Go along, like anything like that, that can help. Like we're all for that.
Yeah. And I think from both of our stories, that's been something that's been important along the route, that for me, working at PHP, the architect, has come from going to a PHP conference, meeting the people that run it, and then being in the position that I needed work. They already knew me. They knew of me. They knew what I could do because I'd spoken at their conference, which then put me in the position of being employed. And a lot of people sort of undervalue the idea of developers being in a room together, because, I mean, this is the old stereotype of developers sit in the corner and never talk to each other. I haven't actually met a developer like that. Most of the developers I've met are people that are more than willing to talk to you, and might take a little bit of help to get started in a conversation kind of thing, because I know where Mike's going in a moment. But it is something that is massively undervalued, the power of just meeting with people.
I'd also extend that to online,
yeah,
as well, not just in person. I'm an architect because I spent a lot of time in their Discord channel talking to people, so they knew who I was when I then needed work because I was made redundant. I was just lucky that they had an opening at the time, asked me to interview, and the rest is history. I'm now with them. So it's not just the in-person stuff, it's online as well. I'd extend that too.
Yeah.
And I'd actually, it's interesting because I've had this conversation with another young developer who is in the C# world, who is trying to look for his next move. Excuse me, sorry. And his advice was get a portfolio together. I have not got a portfolio. I've never had time to actually build myself a portfolio. And I'm employed, and I've had a couple of jobs. So I would personally say, hang on, no, get into the community first. And this is what I've said to this young man. I said, get into the communities that where developers in that, or companies or people that work in the areas that you want to work in, get into those areas and start just talking. I mean, for me, with PHP Architect, it started in the PHP Ugly Discord. I started listening to their podcast, which is now morphed into the PHP Architect in more recent years. But I was talking about chess and giving people chess lessons. I wasn't talking about coding.
Yeah.
I was like Eric and John. I've played chess with them, give them some tips and things and some lessons in chess. I started up the PHP Ugly chess club on chess.com that we're no longer using now, and we started some internal sort of competitions, and that's how they got to know me. It wasn't just through coding. I went in with something else that I knew and have quite a bit of knowledge about and started talking about. So it's not always having to be talking about coding all the time. It can be something else, just to get yourself known. People know who you are. People start to see you in the chat, and then moving into in person, people start to see your face, know who you are, know your voice, and all those sorts of things. And so that I would highly recommend that over spending hours locked away in a room building a portfolio website. If you're in the community and people know you, then build the website. I would say.
I mean, one of the problems I have with the concept of build a portfolio is most of the time the code that I'm writing is behind an NDA, non-disclosure agreement. So how am I supposed to put that in a portfolio when I can't show them the code behind the thing that's in?
Yeah.
I had exactly that issue when I was made redundant in February of last year. I'm not looking at, I've actually got no code to share because I haven't had time to work on anything personal. Because I've been working, and then you've got life, you've got kids, you've got your own activities outside work. I haven't got time to sit hours on end writing a to-do list application to prove that I can write a to-do list application. I haven't got time to sit there doing all those sorts of generic ideas. So being in the community and having people know who you are just by looking at your avatar or your name for online or seeing your face at meetups or conferences is more valuable, I'd say.
100%, yeah. I mean, I don't have a... If I go to my GitHub, I probably have got nothing that's like... that I could show people, part, you know, because it's all in private repos. Might be one or two things. But like I said, it's being seen at these, you know, these things, like I said, online. It's great. Like, to, you know, it's another safe space to go and talk to people. And then, you know, obviously, like, leads to going to events and stuff like that. That's, you know, that massively helps, like 100%. I mean, like I said, that's how I got my gig at Higgs Design, because I went to these meetups. You know, I spoke to Andy. Andy didn't really see any code from me before the interviews. Well, I can't even think, I don't even think I gave him any code during that time. But, you know, it was, you know, the chats that we had, things like that, he could see the passion, the enthusiasm, and kind of it went from there.
Yeah, I think personality plays a much bigger role in this, especially when you need to know that the new person will fit in with the existing team. And I think most of my first dev role, I had no code to show the person. He didn't do any coding tests. He asked me a few questions, and the rest of it was all off of personality. And he quite openly said to me after that, well, actually, it was just before he offered me the job, he got me on the phone and said, and went through all the reasons why he shouldn't hire me. And one of them was lack of experience. He's interviewed people with a lot more experience than I have. But it was the personality. It was the fact that he knew that I could fit in with the existing team that was already there. And I did. I was there for quite some time until the work dried up for me and he couldn't keep me on, which is no fault of anyone's. It's just the way the market went for him. So it's enough. So I think personality, get yourself across, get people to know you in some way, shape or form. You don't know someone's personality by reading someone's code.
No.
And if they're not great at coding, then you've got the opportunity to mold them, have a more senior developer work with them to shape them into the developer you want.
Yeah. You can teach somebody the technical skills. And as long as there's a basic aptitude there for understanding how to break something down, and they're the sort of person that fits the team you have somebody you can work with.
Mm.
And it's interesting actually thinking back when I was at Jump 24 working with Alex, and the amount of time that he put into teaching me concepts that I had no idea about. But he would literally take me through step by step and explain how it worked. But the next time I came up against that, I could do it myself because Alex had took the time to show me. And that mentorship is what makes part of a team work as well as it does. And We've had the conversation on here before about juniors in PHP, and I'm really struggling to see junior roles, which is quite interesting.
It's an odd one, isn't it? Because I mean, we've got an opening right now for a role, and we haven't specifically put like a bracket, like it's a junior mid. We've just put a salary range, and we've just seen, you know, who wants to apply. And we've had like varying degrees of you know, levels. Like we've had people who are new to, you know, just finished college or uni applying, and then we've had, you know, people who've got loads and loads of experience. And it's been interesting, like, just chatting to them first. Like, obviously, the first kind of thing we do is have a chat with them, see if they, you know, culturally fit, like you were talking about there, Mike, if they would, you know, fit in the team. And yeah, you look out there, there isn't much that I can see that like junior level. And it, like, I know this question has been going around on Twitter over the last couple of days as well. Like, why are we not seeing these roles? Why are we seeing everything in like JavaScript, or why are we seeing everything in Node or Python and things like that? Why are we not seeing these positions in PHP? Why are we not seeing the kind of salary that you see in all these other languages? And like, how do we deal with that? You know, how can we fix that problem? You know, it's a difficult one to solve. It's not something we can, you know, just, there's no magic hammer that's going to just fix it. But, you know, there are varying things that we can do as business owners, as, you know, as people who use these frameworks, use these languages, you know, people who go to meetups, things like that. There's all ways to do this. I saw something about rephrasing the way that we talk about PHP. So everyone, you know, this thing comes up a lot. PHP is dead. PHP is dead. Well, stop saying PHP is dead. Let's rephrase it. Let's do something different. Yep. Like, don't, you know, because it's such a negative connotation straight away. Like, why would people be interested in PHP if the first thing you say is PHP is dead? Even though you're like in the article or the post or whatever, you kind of counteract that. If the headline is PHP is dead, people are not going to, you know, people are not going to be interested. So, yeah, I mean, it's an interesting thing. Like, how do we fix that problem? Like, it's this, you know, most of the boot camps I see, they teach JavaScript. I mean, Chris knows, he, you know, he's been at, he worked at one, you know, he went through one. You know, the JavaScript's the big thing that they teach, and I can understand why. Like, it, you know, front end, back end, I understand. But like, I think one of the problems we had, and especially in the West Midlands, was there was way too many graduates, all know JavaScript, and there just wasn't the jobs then. You know, there's loads of people who would come out of these boot camps, they knew JavaScript, they knew React, and there was no, you know, there wasn't the number of jobs needed for them, for the, you know, people that had come through.
Yeah, and I think that's something that School of Code had the right way around. Yes, they used JavaScript as the tool, but they taught the fundamentals of programming. So if you can write a function, you can Google the syntax and how to do it in any language. If you can write a loop, you can do that. But by teaching that fundamentals, a lot of people are missing the fact that you can switch languages quite easily. Now, you might not have the experience of the frameworks and everything else, but you can understand what's going on and quickly learn. And that's how I've ended up working in, to date, 19 different languages.
I mean, I've have to agree with all that. I think these boot camps are slightly getting it wrong. I'm currently studying a computer science degree through the Open University. And yes, we play with JavaScript. We play a bit of PHP. I've done a bit of Python. I've been done a bit of Java. But they're all just picking those languages. And I don't have any grasp of great knowledge of these languages. What they're actually teaching you is the concepts. So Java was to teach object-oriented programming. I don't know why they picked those particular languages to teach it, but it's more about the concepts. And as Chris said, there are fundamentals. I mean, you could literally go down to this, I'm trying to remember what it's called. Is it Scratch? The program that they teach, they normally use in like primary schools to teach kids decision making and computer programming. I mean, you could teach someone how to write a program with that, because it's just drag and drop blocks from all the different loops, different time. And that's all you really need to know, as Chris said, is you can then work out how to do the syntax in any language. It's more about learning how to tell the computer what you want it to do. And breaking down those problems into the smallest sections to be able to write that code line by line. That's what people should be taught, not how to write in the language. Because yes, you're writing, learning a language, but sometimes those bits get missed, and people will then think, well, I did a boot camp for JavaScript. I don't know how to write anything in PHP. But when you then explain to them, it's exactly the same. You just need to learn the different syntax.
Yeah.
That's it, really.
Yeah. And so many people miss the power of understanding how to program. And that ability to shift between languages makes you exceedingly valuable, but it also makes it so easy for you to look at code and just understand it, even if it's in a framework, a pattern that you don't understand. You can break it down, you can work out what's going on. And yes, of course, you're going to sit there and pull your hair out. I mean, that's fairly obvious from the state of mind. And you can look at how something is going, you can get annoyed with it, but at least you can understand it. And you can get to the other end and work out what happened. And then you can change it to something that you happen to like. And that's kind of the core of choices in code style. It's the thing that you happen to like. There's no real difference between writing something functionally and object orientated. They both do the same thing. It's just that you happen to prefer one over the other.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, we're going to skip over just to hear from our partners, and we'll be right back in a second.
Thank you to our partners at phpscore.com. Every app builds up technical debt over time. It's the price we pay for shipping new features and moving fast. When we build up too much of it, though, it can start to impact how we work. Team velocity suffers, bugs become more frequent and take longer to fix, and everyone starts to get a little frustrated. The key to managing debt is to measure it. A credit score can help you understand how well you're managing your financial debt, and now there's a credit score for your technical debt. Go to phpscore.com to get a free technical debt score and monitoring for all of your PHP applications today.
Thank you, PHP Score. So, Dan, we were talking just before that advert around the idea of sort of code quality, code style, and that there's a subtle clue online that that may be something that you appreciate a bit in pretty much every post on LinkedIn. Do you want to tell me more about what code quality means in Jump 24 and what that looks like?
Yeah, it's like super important to me. I've like I said before, Jump 24, I worked at several different agencies that had different ways to write code. Different developers would do different things, tab spaces, you know, like all these little things that we used to argue about before. And, you know, someone would, you know, the way they write their loops or do this, that, and the other. Again, it all works. It does all work. Don't get me wrong. Everything's, you know, everything works. But you go and look at a piece of code, one piece of code someone's written, and then you go and look at someone else's piece of code. And just completely like, you know, everything just looks different and things like that. So I thought when I started the business, like one thing I wanted to be like is that I want someone, you know, if someone starts new, someone who's never worked on a project before, if they jump into a project that we've written, they would understand it. Like they could, you know, they'd know where to go for the code. Like where, okay, well, say, you know, the action pattern right now is big. So where do our actions live? We all, you know, they always live in the same place in our code bases. So like we know that's where I got to go to do that, where I got to, you know, where I've got to put my actions. So it became really important to me that like the first thing we did was standardized everything. So, you know, we looked around at various tools that were around at the time, like the different, you know, the different PSR standards that were out, things like that. We found a really cool tool called Easy Coding Standards. So it's built by Thomas, who is part of the Rector team. So Rector PHP, which is another tool that helps you kind of, you know, upgrade your PHP code, things like that. It's like another really good tool to help you with things like this. The great thing about like Easy Coding Standards was we could pick and choose the bits that we wanted. So like the bits of the standards that we wanted, but we could also easily write our own. So, you know, we've got like Alex has written custom things for like all our classes should be final, you know, like all these little things that we, you know, we wanted to do to make sure people did. We've written like custom sniffs to do that. And then we obviously run them on the pipeline. We run them locally, things like that. And, you know, from, you know, not having those things in place to getting those things in place, all of a sudden your code lines up, like everything's really nice. You can go into a project and, oh, that's it looks exactly the same as that. I know where that is. So people find onboarding these projects a lot easier. And, you know, so they get up to speed quicker. They're developing and producing code the same way that the whole team would. And the great thing, again, like I said before, is, you know, how many times have you looked at a bit of code and gone, okay, I want to write this code. How do I do it? Like, or, you know, and you like you can waste hours just thinking about how you're going to write this code. Well, if you've got a certain set of standards in place that say, okay, we should do this, or we should use collections all the time. Don't use arrays, you know, use a collection and then do the things with a collection because it's obviously better for type hinted, things like that. So we, you know, it makes your job easier because you're not having to worry about like, oh, have I done that right? Have I done this wrong? Like there's already these like kind of set standards in place for how we should be writing our code. And it also then, like the big win is it helps massively with bugs, right? Like if you've got a bunch of things in place, like you've got your standard set, you're enforcing type. So like everything's, you know, like strongly typed, things like that. Those issues that you had, you know, before or, you know, way back in PHP 4, you know, these things that would crop up, they're not there anymore. Like, so we can release code. You know, we're a lot more confident in the code that we're doing. Like the client's a lot more confident in what we're releasing because we know that, you know, having these strong types, having these standards in place and the tests, you know, like, which is again, another super important thing for us, having these tests in place mean that when we do release something, there's loads of kind of stuff there behind the scenes that we know that we've done to make sure that thing is going to work.
Yeah. And none of that means you don't get bugs because it happens. We're human. We make mistakes. but it all helps to minimize the amount you do get. And when you do get one, it's a heck of a lot easier to find it.
And
I mean, let's be honest, most of the bugs that developers get once they've got strong standards in place are they missed an edge case or there's some quirky little thing where PHP underneath the hood has got some complicated thing going on, like 0.1 for 0.2 isn't in fact 0.3.
Or you know, a classic API change without knowing, letting you know it doesn't work. You're like, well, what's happened here? Oh, they've changed the way that the responses are returned. So yeah, I've got to do something about it.
Or just completely changing the endpoint like I've had. Why is this not working now?
Oh, that endpoint doesn't exist anymore.
No, it's not there anymore. Oh, but they put a message up on the endpoint to say, we've moved, but no pre-warning. Thanks for that.
And then you get integrating APIs, and of course third parties always do APIs right, and there's never a problem with third party APIs.
Yeah, we had a long conversation about that on so today's a Wednesday, so we had a live show last night, and we had quite a long conversation about APIs.
Yep,
I think we've talked about APIs quite a bit on the shows because it's just one of those bugbears that. All the third-party APIs you want to consume seem to be developed by people that have completely different opinions on how an API should work.
Yep.
Even with some of the fundamental stuff that is already out there and set in stone, this is how it should work. For example, error codes, but they don't follow them.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Or just invent new ones.
Yes, invent new ones, and we could spend another hour talking about APIs, but maybe we shouldn't on this episode.
No, I think we'll get Steve back for that one.
Yes.
So, one thing that you mentioned earlier on was Laravel London, which is now a thing, which is awesome. Do you want to tell us more about that? Because we're going to make sure this goes live before the first one.
So Laravel London's like been going for a long time. It was run by Jonty, who runs Laravel Live UK. It's been on a bit of a pause, and he did do a shout out to see if anyone wanted to take it over. So myself and Pete and Susanna, we kind of stepped up to start that. Now London's got a massive development scene, and there's lots of Laravel developers in London. We already know this. But obviously there's not a kind of, you know, a good meetup that goes on. Like, I think the meetup group for it at the moment has about 800 people that are, you know, part of the group. So, so we're going to start putting it on again. But like, it's typical meetup style. So the first one we're going to do is just going to be, you know, meet and greet, 50 people, just chat, then get, you know, kind of find out what people want in the next event. Like, what would you like to see? And then, like I said, every other month, then we're going to do an event with some talks, bring some speakers in. Again, what's great about London is it's like, you know, there's a couple of Laravel people who are close by that we could bring in to talk, but there's also good access routes, you know, to come in. So it does open things up, like, to get people there. Obviously, you know, I'm in Birmingham, so, you know, it's a couple of hours travel for me, but it is a good location and there is a lot of people there. So, you know, there is a benefit of having it there. But one thing like we want to try and do, obviously we're working with Laravels right now to try and basically one of the big problems we've got right now is the meetup, like everyone who's subscribed at the moment, we've got one female developer who's like turning up, and we want to make that change. We want to change that. Like, how do we go about changing that? You know, it's something that we're struggling with, like in an industry, like, you know, you see it every day, you know, like there's way more male developers than female. So we're trying to make sure that it's a safe space. You know, like they we don't want them to feel like they can't come because it's not safe. And, you know, we're going to make sure that, you know, that, like, they're listened to. So if, you know, things happen that, you know, shouldn't be happening, you know, we deal with them. So like, and really like trying to bring more of them in. Like that's, you know, we want to see, you know, Laravels has been growing year on year. Like, you go and look at any Laracon event, you know, they always get on stage to take a photo. And I remember, I think the first Laracon EU I went to, there was, I mean, maybe 10 or 12, something like that. I can't remember, you know, it wasn't a massive number. And then you look at Laravel Live UK, the last year's one, and the stage was like, you know, almost full. And then I think at the US one, that, you know, again, like massive amount of people there. So it's great to see that, but like, kind of, you know, how can we do more to fix the problem?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know it's a difficult one to fix, but like, you know, it's something we got to think about.
Mm-hmm. And that's actually something that when we had a conversation on this podcast with Susanna, we were talking at some extent about that. And one of the things that we also looked at was the fact that it's not just females, it's anybody who isn't male.
Yeah.
Somebody who doesn't identify as male is going to have a much harder job finding themselves comfortable and feeling like they should be there than somebody who identifies as male.
Yeah.
Just by the fact that it's a room full of people who identify as male, as a general rule. And mm-hmm. anything that we do that can change that is incredible. I mean, if you look at the top of the chain, the PHP Foundation, it's a pretty even split between male and female, which that's incredible. We need that to start trickling down. And even at Laravel, it's starting to change in the core team that you're seeing more females there. And that's not any deliberate action on their part. It's just happening naturally.
Mm.
And the fact that it's even something that is needed is, it's kind of almost a worry for me that it's even something that we should have to think about.
Yeah, it's a difficult one. It is a shame that we have to think about it. But my hope is that 10, 15, 20 years down the line, we don't think about it anymore
mm-hmm.
because it's so ingrained in our culture. And this is it. It's a culture change that we're having to make sure. And I feel for anyone out there that doesn't feel safe, whatever gender they identify as or what their sexuality, anyone at all that doesn't feel safe in this space is not right. And it's all right for the three of us to say that's not right, because I experience that sort of anxiety in a different way, just because I have social anxiety. But it's not, I can't pretend to imagine what it's like for people that don't identify as male or have a different sexuality to myself. So it's hard for me to put myself in those situations or those thoughts. But I just wish we didn't have to think about it, and everyone is just safe. Because one thing I'd like in all walks of life, in any sort of activities I'm involved in, is that everyone and anyone is welcomed in however shape or form they want to be in, or they shouldn't be any of this feeling uncomfortable at all. But unfortunately it is. So as Chris said, we've got to work to make sure that doesn't happen anymore in the future. And that's education. That's just opening our arms to everyone and saying everyone is welcome, everyone is safe. And but making sure, I think the really interesting thing, it's popped into my mind, I cannot remember if we talked about this with Susanna. I know the episode came out recently, I think. At the time of recording, it was only last week it came out, but we actually recorded it quite a while ago. So I'm trying to remember everything we said. I personally was on holiday, so I didn't rewatch the episode when it went live. But there is another big community I'm involved in is the chess world. And all over the world, there is a new movement to try and make female chess players feel more comfortable at tournaments. There has been horrendous stories of harassment and all sorts from male players onto female players. And there is now an organization that is building up a network of people that are associated, and they can be male, they can be female, they can be whatever, and they'll be like a go-to person at every tournament. That's the goal. At every tournament, there is a go-to person for them, for anyone to go to and speak to if they feel uncomfortable about anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if we talked about that with Susanna, but that would be an interesting concept to consider, having representative of the Larabelles. I keep having to stop myself calling it Larabellas. I don't know where that's come from. I'm sorry. And Larabelles, a representative of Larabelles in every meetup, every conference, that could be just someone to go to and speak to if there's something more. I mean, we, as a company, PHP Architect, we're really strict with our code of conducts.
Yeah.
Luckily, as far as I'm aware, John and Eric have only ever had to act on it once. The 2 years that I've been there, so this year and last year, there were no incidences. And we, when I look at the people that attend tech, it is a very diverse set of people from different backgrounds, again, different genders and things. So I think that there is hope. And it starts with the organizers, and I'm not accusing any organizers of not doing this, but starts with the organizers to make it completely and utterly honest that anything that goes on that is not right, you're gone. That's it. Doesn't matter who you are, you're out of the door. And then enforce it. Yeah. They've got to back it up and enforce it. But then I also know there are people that might feel it difficult to report an incident.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to, but you should. This is my message to you, you should. And maybe having like a representative at any of these meetups that could just close doors, just disappear, have a little chat. Doesn't even have to be on the night. It could be afterwards. Just my thought that's just popped into my head while we were just talking. Mm. And I can't remember nice if I idea. Talked to Susanna about it. But that is something that's going on in the chess world. And anyone can sign up to be part. I can't remember the organization's name. I'd have to Google it again. Anyone can sign up to be a representative and then be present at a tournament for anyone to go to if they've got any problems and they want to talk to someone. So just a thought. Yeah. Rambled on about that a bit long now.
It's definitely an interesting concept to look at and something that wouldn't be that complicated to start doing.
It makes me think I've forgotten to mention it when I was talking to Susanna, because I'm sure that must have popped in my head when we recorded that episode. And I'll try and reach out to her and chat to her about it. It's just something that's going on in other worlds, I know. And whether I think it's helping. I can't say for sure, but I wonder whether that would be something that would make other people, so anyone that doesn't identify as male, feel more comfortable to go to these places because they know there's someone there that they can just, that this is, don't feel comfortable because of this.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's those organizers then have to act on what's going on. They can't just brush it under the carpet. There was a big... I'm going to refer back to chess again because it's probably the other big community I'm part of. There was a big thing in the US of a grandmaster who was accused by numerous females of some sort of sexual harassment, and it was brushed under the carpet until someone went public and said, and then it all then got dealt with. Whether it was dealt with correctly, I don't know. But now the stigma is that it just got brushed under the carpet. People ignored it. It wasn't investigated. It wasn't dealt with. And that's something that's just not right. So if something is reported, as so that the organisers need to act and enforce whatever their code of conducts are. With that, I'm hoping, I really do hope that then makes it feel more comfortable for people to join these, and we can start getting that diversity because it is out there. There are plenty of females and people that don't identify as males, developers out there. We know they are out there.
Mm-hmm.
We want to embrace them and bring them into the fold and let them enjoy these events.
Yeah, and it's difficult to put yourself in the mindset of somebody who thinks the opposite of what we do. Because I've seen that in some circles where people have gone, well, no, this isn't a woman's job. And it's like, what are you talking about?
Then my answer to that is, there's a door, get lost.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not the person to be here. That is not. It's going back to getting employed about your personality and your things like that. If you don't fit, then bye.
Mm.
Yeah.
That might be harsh, but I think I'm hoping that that's the majority of people that think that way.
Yeah.
These days. So by saying no, that you're not part of this, you need to leave, that will open up the doors for more people to come.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Yeah. So, Dan, when is the first Laravel London? And how would somebody get a ticket?
That's what we were talking about.
Yep. So if you head to laravel.london, that should redirect you to Luma. And it's the 22nd of November. I'm correct. Yep. Awesome. There's still some spots available. So, yeah, if you can make it, like, you know, if you know anyone who can, get them to sign up. You know, there's some free drinks and you get to chat to other lovely Laravel developers. And then hopefully, like I said, you know, in 2 months' time, then I'll be running with talks.
Mm-hmm. I did look and I'd love to get down there, but I've got a funny feeling there's something else going on that day. I can't remember what it is. I need to look at it again.
See, I kind of want to go, but I'm not sure if Eric would let me go a week after I've done another talk at another place.
I'm sure he will.
I might ask.
Is it a day thing or is it in the evening?
It's in the evening.
It is in the evening.
6 to 9.
Which is really helpful right in the middle of my work day.
Well, you can shift it. Surely you can your work day for one day. Yeah, so yeah, for us, working for the American team, I don't do as many later days as you do, Chris. I do a couple of later days to have that overlap, but the rest of them are sort of more UK normal working hours.
I mean, I do half of my day on UK normal hours. I do 12 till 10. It's a fun shift.
It works for you.
It does. I don't know many developers that go, yeah, I'll willingly work 12 till 10.
Yeah, I don't either.
So one other question that I wanted to chat around was, you've been posting the PHP top 10 for quite a while, and that has grown into, honestly, one heck of a resource. And some of the things that I've seen posted there have been absolutely brilliant. What do you reckon your favorite has been so far?
It's a good question.
Is this where you now go and read all of them?
They're all in. I've got them all in documents in Jira, in Confluence. So everything's in Confluence. I've got it all. And I think there's been two really good ones. They're not really been massively around PHP.
Mm.
But again, it goes back to the concepts again. So there was two. One of them is to do with like MySQL and data at scale, like looking at your queries and, you know, finding those performance fixes that you can do, you know, even just by like doing simple things like adding indexes or thinking about how you're writing those queries, like looking at joins that are not necessarily as performant as, you know, certain joins. This way is better to do that, or, you know, things like that. That was a really interesting one because obviously they were dealing with massive sets of data, like Geocodio, I think it is, something like that. They do a couple of really good blogs. Like, they have a lot of data that they deal with, and they go into real good depth and good, like, in their blog posts of like how they deal with certain things. There was one 2 weeks ago, I think it was, that was really, really, really interesting to read. And then another one was CSVs, of all things, you know, parsing like CSVs with hundreds of thousands of rows of data.
Mm.
Now, you know, we've all written code that, you know, the user uploads a CSV or uploads an Excel spreadsheet. And, you know, there's numerous Laravel packages out there, like Laravel Excel and stuff like that, that you can use to help you do this. But, like, you know, we've come up against problems before in the past where, you know, like someone's just uploaded a crazy big file, like more than you would, you know, understand. And they're wondering why it's taking so long, or, you know, the thing just fails. So, like, looking at that, like, as a high level concept and thinking about how you can, you know, do these things, you know, step away from a package, use the native kind of inbuilt PHP stuff that you can use and like make that thing performant, super performant. Like, those are really interesting ones for me. And like, there's been some other like loads of really interesting stuff, you know, week to week that pop up. Like, some really good, like, there's some really good people doing some like awesome things right now in the space. Like Nuno just is smashing it with like the videos he does and the stuff, you know, he's putting out there. Ashley, like the AI stuff that he's doing, and like the crazy things he did yesterday. He did a SSH paint, like the you know, the paint thing, like, and everyone's like, how did you do that? Like, that's what I find really interesting about the top 10 stuff, is like, I'm finding things as I'm, you know, throughout the week that's like, well, that's really cool. Or, you know, that like, that's another interesting thing. And they might not 100% be like PHP focused or Laravel focused. They might have like, sometimes it's concepts that you can apply to your PHP code or your Laravel code. And like, you know, they're just as interesting because like you said, you know, that's how you're going to improve your code. So yeah, it's been fun putting them together.
Yeah. So when's the book that you're going to put them all in so that we can
No, I don't think I've got the time to put them all together.
I think we do need some sort of public repo of them though, because that would be a really useful resource. And if you've got
we were thinking about putting them on our website, so like as part of, you know, like a blog, so every week just put it out. And I was going to try and film the next one, so like I was just going to do like a 10-minute video where I go into a bit more detail. So like obviously the problem with like the LinkedIn post, you only have so much text you can put in, so maybe like an 8 to 10 minute video of me talking through them, and then the post as normal as a way to kind of get a bit more, not, you know, a bit more kind of thing out of them.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I actually really like that idea. I would definitely be watching those first thing on a Friday morning. It's kind of amusing to wake up on a Friday and guess where we've been that week.
my LinkedIn has never been so busy.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't think you actually know the impact it's having, Dan. We know for a fact that some of the people that are watching after they've been broadcast are coming from the Laravel top 10 because they've told us. So okay, people are seeing it on your post,
yeah,
coming and seeing our resource and then telling us that they came from you, which is, it's brilliant.
I have had a few people message me on LinkedIn, and at what event, I think it was Laravel Live UK, the last one, I think someone came up to me and like said, oh, you know, I read them. Like, so I've been doing it for about a year and a half now, or 2 years, I think it's been going for. So yeah, it's nice to hear that, like, you know, people do actually like read them, and you know, hopefully there's some stuff in there that, you know, I can like dig out that like is interesting for people.
Well, yeah. Well, thank you for putting us on there for the few weeks that you have. And I think you can tell how important it is by the amount of reactions that you do get from those posts, because they just, that's why my LinkedIn blows up. So just get hundreds of, like, all these people saying they've reacted to a post you're mentioned in. I mean, every day I'm looking and I've got so many notifications and it's like, what's going on?
Well, no. I mean, if you keep, you know, like I said, the it's the good content that, you know, there's so much good content out there. And like the video, you know, the people you've been talking to, like, it's really interesting stuff. So yeah, you keep knocking it out of the park.
Yeah, thank you very much for that. I mean, that's what we're trying to do. And it sort of circles around to something you were saying earlier, and I think it's possibly because you've watched some of the episodes, and I keep banging on about it, as about how we present PHP to the rest of the world. And that's where this podcast came from. It came from me attending PHP UK. I can't remember, was that, it was this year, earlier this year. Sorry, my brain doesn't work with time frames anymore. Earlier this year, and seeing that there was the forum at the end where one of the questions was, how do we attract new developers to PHP? And the fact that Niels from Packages said about stop using PHP dead in your titles. That's where it all stemmed from. And it's a long conversation that we've had. I mean, me and Chris were talking about this podcast before he became a team member at Architect. So it was on the cards. We've been talking about it. We're planning it. And I'm glad it's getting that sort of impact, and people are thinking what we're doing is interesting, because we're just trying to highlight some of the people that are in the world within the PHP, highlight some of the great stuff that's happening within PHP, because there's lots of awesome stuff coming out, already out, and it's just growing almost every single day. It's like every day I look at something's new come out that looks really cool. So I'm glad you think that we're doing quality content, I suppose you wouldn't have agreed to be on if you didn't think we were doing something good. But yeah, no, it's nice to hear, and thank you very much for adding us into those lists. And I think, yeah, you go back and have a look at those and see how many people are reacting to them. It's a really good resource to just look over and go, oh, that looks interesting. And yeah, people are certainly sitting up and taking notice of those posts every Friday morning.
And I also find it interesting that it's not the same people reacting. So it's not like, oh, your friends specifically are reacting to it. It's people that are related to the resources that you're sharing that are reacting. And it's just showing the reach that it's got now is incredible.
Mm-hmm. So we're getting quite close to time now, and I don't want to be down for too long. It's taken us a while to get this date in the diary to today. So I know you're a busy man. So you've watched quite a few of these episodes, so you kind of know where we're going now. What's the last question? Is what excites you about PHP at the moment? What is there out there or is coming out to do with PHP that really excites you?
Right. So like 8.5 has got some really cool things in it. Like a couple of posts I put out recently about some of the things that, you know, that are being released in there, like native array first and array last stuff, like great. You know, we've had that kind of thing in Laravel for a bit, but it's always been, you know, their implementation of it. But I think what excites me the most is, and again, this goes back to these conversations we've had throughout this, is they're starting to think about how we can get these developers in, like how we can bring this stuff in. You know, there's a competition going on right now. I think it actually might have just finished about like the, you know, the design, the 8.5 release page.
Yeah.
And there's been some really interesting designs, like some like completely different designs than the current website.
Mm.
But I think that needs to be fed through. Like we need something new. Like we need, you know, that you look at, like, I think Nuno did this. He reviewed some of the, you know, the other tools like Python, Next.js, all these kind of things, and their websites were like really nice. And they felt like if you were, you know, a junior dev getting into it, you'd want to use that thing because it looks cool.
Mm.
Whereas you go and look at the PHP website, and I mean, I don't think it's changed in 20 years. I don't know. It's you know, okay, it serves its purpose, but let's do something different. It kind of needs that kind of, it needs to change from that point up. I mean, I saw a post from someone actually, maybe we should rename it like to something like to make it sound cool for like the next major release. Okay, it's still just PHP, but like give it like a cool sounding name. It might, you know, might bring people in. But I do think like the design stuff needs to change. I saw a post from David, who used to be the designer at Laravel, and he'd gone and looked at like the Twitter handles for like the major framework, like the major languages and stuff like that, and when they'd last posted, you know, and PHP hadn't posted since like 2024. Like, you know, you're looking at the social media presence, you're looking at all the, and this is all stuff that like this generation that's coming up now, they all do, like the TikTok generation, all these people, they use these things more than like I don't. Like I'm not a massive, you know, I'm not a massive like social media person. Mm-hmm. I do what I need to do for, you know, for Jump 24, I do that. But like apart from that, I'm not huge. But like these are all the things that they look at, right? The signals that they'll look at to see like, well, is this thing even alive? Do I do it? And, you know, not having any posts for a year is kind of like, hey, you know, let's do something about that. Like this, it should be talking about itself. Like, hey, you know, this new release is coming up with these new features. Cool. Like start to get the ball rolling from the ground up. And I understand it's a lot of work. Like it is a lot of work, right? And it's an open source thing. But yeah, like, is this something that we can help out with as developers who use these languages? Like, how can we help out? Like, we've got the PHP Fig, we've got all these other things that, you know, the PHP Foundation, we've got these things that are there to try and do the, you know, to try and push the language. Like, but how can we also help out with those kind of things?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's interesting actually if you look at things like TikTok development stuff on TikTok. Really lands. It's getting ridiculous amounts of views just for short videos. And there's a guy on there who has been posting for quite some time, and I've forgotten his username, but he posts explanation videos of how to do something in given language. So how to write a repository in JavaScript, how to create a picture in Python, how to remove a background in Python, that kind of thing. And they're like 3-4 minute videos, but he's getting 20, 30, 40,000 views on each one.
Yep.
And the comments section isn't people going, you know, I don't understand this. It's reaching people that are new to development that go, actually, that's a really cool idea.
Yeah. We need to think differently now, like with the way we're, you know, the way to reach these people is changing. Like, yeah. I sometimes go on to Twitch to see, like, there's a like programming specific channels of people like live stream programming. And I dig through and try to find PHP ones, and I really struggle sometimes. Like, there's loads of JavaScript, or there's Java, or there's, you know, loads of these like Python ones that doing, like, they write in Python, but like I really struggle to find like PHP based ones. I understand, okay, you know, some people don't want to stand sit there and like live stream and coding all day, but like, it kind of, these are those like these signal points that you look at and go, well, there's no one doing PHP, or there's no one doing thing there. Like, how can we help improve that? You know, and people like Nuno and that are doing a like superb job. You know, like, he's constantly streaming, he's constantly putting this stuff out, constantly doing like the things to help promote it. It's, you know, and you've got like Laracast that do quality content, like the video content they put together, like the stuff that Jeffrey and the team there put together is amazing. It's just like, it feels like we need more of that. You know, like, we need more of this kind of, these people working together to get it to where it needs to be.
And it can't be down to a single person. It can't be down to Nuno, because let's put it in simple terms. If Nuno's streaming every day for 6 hours, what else is he going to be doing? And
he doesn't seem to sleep. He'd be doing everything. No. He doesn't sleep, I don't think.
But you are seeing some streamers starting up with smaller videos, like Povilas posts daily with Laravel Daily. And that's a fantastic resource. And Steve will stream 2 or 3 times a month. And his are fantastic resources. But there needs to be more of us willing to do it and just be willing to make mistakes. You know, a lot of it is the fear of, well, if I get this wrong on stream, then everybody's going to look at me. Well, yes, but that's kind of the point, that people are looking at what you're doing. And making mistakes on stream, what's more realistic? Making a mistake in the code and learning how to fix it on stream, where people can ask you why you did things that way, or hiding it behind a perfectly polished, perfectly edited video?
Yeah, 100%.
I guess that kind of leads us to the end, because we've actually run over again.
Don't worry, it's me. I mean, last night was 1.5 hours long.
I mean, yeah, no, last night's was a really fun conversation. There's so much to talk about. So we're just going to have people back on. That's it. We'll just fill next year's program with all the people we've already had on.
I mean, it works.
Yeah, because there's just so many things to talk to everyone about, and yourself as well, Dan. But I wanted to say thank you very much for giving us your time today. I will just remind everyone, you're most likely probably watching this on YouTube. Please go and subscribe to our channel, or if you're listening to it to whatever podcast method you're using, please give us a review. But head over to our Discord channel for just audios, that is discord.phparch.com, where you can join in the chat. There's all sorts of people in there. There's people from PHP internals, there's package maintainers, there's PHP release managers, all in that chat, chatting away, asking questions, answer questions if people are asking questions and you know the answer. Get known in the community. We've said earlier, get known in the community. Talk about anything you want. There's people that post pictures of their pets in there. That'll get you noticed, trust me. Magazine discount, don't forget to head over and subscribe to the PHP Architect Magazine. Alive 3 will give you your first 3 months free for a digital subscription. That is a tongue twister. So we need to have a bigger thing to say all that, so I don't have to keep saying that over and over again. PHP Tech, tickets are on sale. You can come and join us in May of 26 over in Chicago. I don't think the speakers would have been announced by the time we release this episode. It will probably more likely be sort of January time. Generally, we'll let you know who's speaking. We've got to go through the rigmarole of picking all those talks now. And then swag, head over to our store, store.phparch.com, and you can check out the different t-shirts, caps, hats, cups, and other stuff. There's all sorts of things over there. But thank you very much for everyone listening or watching. Thank you very much, Dan, again, for your time today. And we'll catch up with everyone soon. Take it easy.
Thanks, bro. Bye. Take it.
Bye.